Whatever happened to whispering? That's the hardest step. The first time you utter those words, "Oh, what fun it is to ride," to a stranger. I don't think so. I take my seat on a Sunday afternoon while wandering in silent woodlands in one 32-minute journey from Waterloo to Petersfield. A monster had started lumbering my way, something between a whine and a sigh. And here the real horror unfolds. I have heard spontaneous shouts of, "Oh, do shut up!
Oh, do shut up!"
Of course, the effect is jarring. I had hitherto ignored all the horror stories about Foster Clark's cream custard, Wright's coal tar soap, emu Australian wines. Noise is a monster, and it was the silence that had told me this. It was towards midnight, and Mozart was being played in the ticket hall.
The humdrum day-to-day routine is full of wasted moments. Snatched away from this monotony are the special moments when the world presents itself with splendid ideas, splendid feelings, or great pleasure. Magnificent. Isn't it?
We must be loudly commanded, like naughty schoolchildren. And Mozart must be punished. That seems about right. I got out of the bath to check something. The window was not open. And so I, the notorious murderer, resort to my car. Alcohol is for that time when the sun is over the yardarm. Where my fellow 13-year-olds might go to the park midweek in a school holiday, I would go to Aberdeen. I discovered that to tangle with the British is to feel oneself shrinking in significance by the day.
Portcullis House, Line 4, the Wilson Room.
They seemed able to traverse the interstellar ether on their vast membranous wings, thus oddly confirming some curious hill folklore long ago told me by an antiquarian colleague. They had lived under the sea a good deal, building fantastic cities and fighting terrific battles with nameless adversaries by means of intricate devices employing unknown principles of energy. Their preternatural toughness of organization and simplicity of natural wants made them peculiarly able to live on a high plane without the more specialized fruits of artificial manufacture, and even without garments, except for occasional protection against the elements. It was under the sea, at first for food, and later for other purposes, that they first created Earth life.
And it's very quiet, as you can hear. If I was bored, I'd say, "Dad, I'm off to London," and he wouldn't bat an eye. And there I have remained ever since, a monster, chained to the floor. For years it was fine, by the way, and then they installed these new, much louder machines. I did not suffer. I said how refreshing I found it, and the bolder ones would say, after eyeing me for a while, "Absolutely yes. Are you aware this is a first-class carriage?" And so I resort to my car. I had my life before me. His was about done. Well, I could see that quite clearly for myself. The comings and goings of the businessmen, previously only glimpsed between trees in the distance, and the changing scenes beyond the window, provoking cinematic dreams. I became subject to waves of bittersweet emotion at the thought of all that had happened since. Particularly sinister, this. A void would open up in people's lives. Death. In shops, cafes, hotel lobbies, restaurants, pubs, dentists, surgeries. I am haunted by them. Only the Bavarian Black Forest would really do. I began to count the cars going past, and continued to count them, off and on, for the next 2 years. Try it as a deterrent and see how clever you are. Why should it bother me? An expression I would come to know well. When my wife happened to say that I was secretly, guiltily, jealous of nobody at all, unless I murdered them, which I did think of doing, by means of an ice cube containing rat poison that I would pitch from my window directly into their water bucket. She's a much breezier person than I am, and this was just a passing remark. Alternatively, it seemed to me that I'd be doing them a favour thereby. But once you've put yourself beyond the pale of our raucous society in that way, you experience a feeling of liberation. And you will find yourself saying those words over and over again. Oh, what fun it is to ride a stranger.
Oh, what fun it is to ride a stranger. Oh, it is to
Tokyo is not one city, but many. Its different neighborhoods separated by some of the world's most impenetrable traffic. By far the greater part of it is new, rebuilt after the great fire bombings of World War II. Only recently have the Japanese begun to build skyscrapers. Fear of earthquakes has kept its skyline relatively low. In the times when wood and paper were all Japan had to build with, there was an earlier heyday. Tokyo was known then as Edo. At the beginning of the 18th century, it had as many citizens as any capital in Europe. And even then, the Imperial Palace stood at its heart.
Oh, what fun it is to ride a stranger. A pleasantry, you might say. A neighbor was present, and they both reached happily for their drinks. There is no tax on aviation fuel, he said. A shop selling scented candles will have some New Age burbling in the background, he said. But wait, he said. The best ones are made of wax, he said. And so I reach for my book. They're covered in cotton wool, and they're about the size of a railway station. My wife had been a merchant seaman, therefore frightening. Aniseed balls, he said. You get 12 in a box. I knew I had become a monster. I had also, by then, called all around the world. But it appeared that someone had built a thundering motorway in the sky right over our heads and without asking permission.
Everyday matter in Tokyo. Each neighborhood has a Shinto or Buddhist shrine. One of the better known is the Asakusa Kannon Temple, where crowds gather seeking ancient cures for any ailment. Built in the 6th century and rebuilt rather more recently, it's the setting for popular ceremonies throughout the year. Some of them the festivals and rituals of childhood. But as more plate glass and neon comes to dominate the city, a glimpse of old Edo becomes harder to track down, and the cheerful street-level Tokyo of sake houses, coffee shops, and public baths is fast disappearing.
The sound seemed novel. I was intensely aware of it. In fact, I was still frowning up at the sky half an hour later. I lay in the bath, thinking, I can hear young people having sex with each other. Going all night. And you can't close your ears. But if I have given up pop music, awkward silence, it hasn't given me up. And so if I hear Gold by Spandau Ballet, then that evokes the savour of liver and mash. And if I hear Careless Whisper by George Michael, that's the apple pie and custard that follows. Whilst Sweet Dreams Are Made of This by the Eurythmics suggests the mug of strong tea that accompanies the meal. In other words, a man reading a soft porn magazine on a rush hour train about 10 feet from his bed. That night, I was still watching young people having sex with each other from my study window. They now appeared as a succession of lights. it wouldn't be heard.
Oh, what fun it is to ride a stranger. Oh, what fun it is to ride a stranger. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
If aniseed is such a good thing, why don't the rich want it? I happen to know that you can turn the TV on, or, more importantly, off, at your own choosing. The change that killed my love was twofold. Firstly, the introduction of open carriages producing rabbit after rabbit, as opposed to ones with cosy compartments. Secondly, the introduction of aniseed balls. These changes facilitated the use of a parrot.
The old wooden houses which went up in flames so often that the fires were known as the Flowers of Edo are now curiosities. Rows of tiny shops have been replaced by all-purpose supermarkets. By the late 1980s, land in Tokyo was worth 20 times that in Manhattan. $200,000 would buy just enough to build a telephone booth on. The national ingenuity for saving space has never been needed more. Rooms in a house are described by the number of bed mats that will cover the floor. A two tatami room or a three tatami one. Young hopes shrink by a bed mat every day.
It's true that a man's right to own his own castle is inviolable in all cultures, particularly in this one. All you can possibly afford, I mean, if you have a lot of money, is a what's called a 2DK, which is a dining kitchen, someplace, you know, on the outskirts of Tokyo. And this goes, of course, directly against the idea that you should have your own house. So what the young people have done is given up the idea that they should have their own house. They don't talk about it anymore.
So the young find other things to spend their substantial savings on. If they cannot afford life's necessities, they turn to luxuries.
A porter might have stood on a stepladder with a megaphone in his hand. And before that, a parrot might have stood on a stepladder with a porter in his hand. And before that, there might be noises off, some laughter, creating a renewed tension, or just an interval of heavy breathing.
The humdrum day-to-day routine is full of wasted moments. Snatched away from this monotony.
Stop. Stop. Or stop. One man leaves incredibly long, gasping pauses.
Splendid. Of great pleasure.
Devastating and unexpected frankness.
Magnificent.
In the early 1920s, some sadist magicked into existence. Sonia. Because a voice gets Sonia nerves. I could feel the silence enveloping me. And when, on entering the rambling red brick retreat house, I found that it actually smelt of silence, of furniture polish, of books, I felt excited, with a deliquescing feeling in the stomach.
Probably the most blatant status symbols of all in Tokyo are foreign cars, even if they can only be driven slowly, carefully, and in a long, four-lane-wide procession of similar gleaming trophies. In the time of Edo, the great shopping street of the Ginza was the site of the mint, which turned out the imperial silver coinage. Today there are treasure houses all over Tokyo to tempt the champion spenders that Japan calls the Dokushinki-zoku, the aristocracy of the unmarried, for whom appearances are all important and designer fashion a social imperative. it's the only decent place in the city to jog. Except on a Sunday when the roads are closed and handed over to the sprayed, dyed, and leather-clad yet to be employed. Tokyoites between 18 and 25 form a tribe with its own customs and costumes. Tokyo's they seem to have an dispensation to rattle the invisible bars of the social stockade. The sight of the 1964 Olympics, it's the only decent place in the city to jog, or the except on a Sunday when the roads are closed and handed over to the spray, dyed, and leather-clad yet to be employed.
Anything you can hear and that you don't want to hear of silence, just imagine, surrounded by fields, not a car in sight or earshot. You're sitting in your deck chair with a good book and a glass of wine. I watched leaves drifting down beyond the library window for an interval, and somehow this sight, together with the sound of the clock ticking on the mantelpiece, reminded me of another silent room. After the opening of the seventh seal, porridge becomes something extraordinary, usually. There was a low sun. We walked through thick, crunching snow. It was one of the best days I've had.
Tempura for supper at Ginza Station. The young station assistant Nogawa and his colleagues are still on duty, fortifying themselves for the late night rush hour. Like firemen, they eat and sleep within a few steps of their task.
Looking at my weekly schedule, I usually have two overnight shifts a week and two daytime shifts from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Today, I am cooking dinner and breakfast for the number of employees on overnight shift duty. Two people are assigned for each night, and we go out to buy the materials and cook. Even though I am a man and not used to cooking at home, my repertoire has increased because of this cooking duty, so I don't dislike it.
Above ground, the homegoing torrent, which begins at 11 p.m., is still building up steam. For Mr. Kotani and his colleagues, an important part of Tokyo's business day does not begin until shops and offices are closed. It's known as after work. It's this ritual of salarymen socializing that extends the day to such an inordinate length. The cost of business entertaining amounts to as much annually as Japan's defense budget. Whiskey, a costly comfort, is the drink. Clients like to have their own bottle, their name inscribed on the label. Most after working centers around the rise of karaoke singing, a unique Japanese entertainment. Musical accompaniment comes on a tape. The paying customer steps into the star role, reading the words from a prompter if he cannot recall them.
Whatever happened to whispering? That's the hardest step. The first time you utter those words, oh, what fun it is to ride to a stranger. I don't think so. I take my seat on a Sunday afternoon while wandering in silent woodlands in one 32-minute journey from Waterloo to Petersfield. Sunlight. Sound. Of sick bags, a monster had started lumbering my way. Something between a whine and a sigh. And here, the real horror unfolds. I have heard spontaneous shouts of, oh, do shut up! Of course, the effect is jarring. I had hitherto ignored all the horror stories about Foster Clark's cream custard, Wright's coal tar soap, Emu Australian wines. Noise is a monster. And it was the silence that told me this.
Everything was towards midnight, and Mozart was being played in the ticket hall. The bathroom window must be open. We must be loudly commanded, like naughty school children. And Mozart must be punished. That seems about right. I got out of the bath to check something. The window was not open.
The humdrum day-to-day routine is full of wasted moments. Snatched away from this monotony are the special moments. And the world presents itself in splendid ideas, splendid feelings, or great pleasure. Magnificent, isn't it?
There are mixed opinions about karaoke. Sometimes I go to relieve my own stress, sometimes to relieve someone else's, and also as an extension of business. When this add up, I suppose I go more frequently. I can do this because my family life is very stable. But this is not the case with everyone. I guess some people go to karaoke or go drinking to release the stress of family life.
Tokyo experiences an extraordinary late-night rush hour of reeling salarymen. Not all the late-night homegoers will be as relaxed and cheerful as Mr. Kotani. Before the night is out, station assistant Nogawa will deal tactfully with the few who could not sing their troubles away or locate their color-coded train home.
And so I, the notorious murderer, resort to my car. Alcohol is for that time when the sun is over the yardarm. When my fellow 13-year-olds might go to the park midweek in a school holiday, I would go to Aberdeen. I discovered that to tangle with the British is to feel oneself shrinking in significance by the day.
Portcullis House, Line 4, the Wilson Room. Portcullis House, Line 4, the Wilson Room. Portcullis House, Line 4, the Wilson Room. Portcullis House, Line 4, the Wilson Room.
On at 10 to 7 in the morning, off at 20 to 10 at night. And it's very quiet, as you can hear. If I was bored, I'd say, Dad, I'm off to London. And he wouldn't bat an eye. And there I have remained ever since. A monster, chained to the floor. For years it was fine, by the way. And then they installed these new, much louder machines. I did not suffer. I said how refreshing I found it. And the bolder ones would say, after eyeing me for a while, absolutely yes. And so I resort to my car. I had my life before me. His was about done. Well, I could see that quite clearly for myself. The comings and goings of the businessmen, previously only glimpsed between trees in the distance, and the changing scenes beyond the window, provoking cinematic dreams.
particularly sinister this. A void would open up in people's lives. Death. In shops, cafes, hotel lobbies, restaurants, pubs, dentists, surgeries. I am haunted by them. Only the Bavarian Black Forest would really do. I began to count the cars going past, and continued to count them, off and on, for the next 2 years. Try it as a deterrent, and see how clever you are. Death. Why should it bother me? An expression I would come to know well. When my wife happened to say that I was secretly, guiltily, jealous of nobody at all. Unless I murdered them, which I did think of doing by means of an ice cube containing rat poison that I would pitch from my window directly into their water bucket. She's a much breezier person than I am, and this was just a passing remark. Alternatively, it seemed to me that I'd be doing them a favour thereby. But once you've put yourself beyond the pale of our raucous society in that way, you experience a feeling of liberation, and you will find yourself saying those words over and over again. Oh, what fun it is to ride a stranger.
Coping with stress is a popular Japanese preoccupation. The cramped journeys to and from work and long daily absences from home may be the cause of much of this widespread national complaint.
Well, I think the fact there are so many people in Tokyo leads to a lot of stress for those of us who live here. Tokyo is a big city, and there are a lot of people. And that's one element that produces stress. Time-wise, from the minute I leave home in the morning until I get back in the evening, all that time is devoted to the company. That's just how things are.
is to ride, a stranger. Oh, what fun it is to ride, a stranger. A pleasantry, you might say. A neighbor was present, and they both reached happily for their drinks. There is no tax on aviation fuel. A shop selling scented candles will have some new age burbling in the background, he said. But wait, he said. The best ones are made of wax, he said. And so I reach for my book. They're covered in cotton wool, and they're about the size of a railway station. My wife had been a merchant seaman, therefore frightening. Aniseed balls, he said. You get 12 in a box. I knew I had become a monster. I had also, by then, called all around the world. But it appeared that someone had built a thundering motorway in the sky, right over our heads, and without asking permission. The sound seemed novel. I was intensely aware of it. In fact, I was still frowning up at the sky half an hour later. I lay in the bath, thinking, I can hear young people having sex with each other, going all night, and you can't close your ears. But if I have given up pop music, awkward silence, it hasn't given me up. And so if I hear Gold by Spandau Ballet, then that evokes the savour of liver and mash. And if I hear Careless Whisper by George Michael, that's the apple pie and custard that follows. Whilst Sweet Dreams are made of this by the Eurythmics suggests the mug of strong tea that accompanies the meal. In other words, a man reading a soft porn magazine on a rush hour train. Nothing left to make me feel small. 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 is such a good thing, why don't the rich want it? I happen to know that you can turn the TV on or, more importantly, off at your own choosing. The change that killed my love was twofold. Firstly, the introduction of open carriages, producing rabbit after rabbit, as opposed to ones with cozy compartments. Secondly, the introduction of aniseed balls. These changes facilitated the use of a parrot. A porter might have stood on a stepladder with a megaphone in his hand. And before that, a parrot might have stood on a stepladder with a porter in his hand. And before that, there might be noises off, some laughter, creating a renewed tension, or just an interval of heavy breathing. Stop. Stop. Or stop. One man leaves incredibly long, gasping pauses. With devastating and unexpected frankness. In the early 1920s, some sadist magicked into existence. Sonia. Because a voice gets Sonia nerves. I could feel the silence enveloping me, and when, on entering the rambling red brick retreat house, I found that it actually smelt of silence, of furniture polish, of books, I felt excited, with a deliquescing feeling in the stomach. Anything you can hear, and that you don't want to hear, of silence, just imagine, surrounded by fields, not a car in sight or earshot. You're sitting in your deck chair with a good book and a glass of wine. I watched leaves drifting down beyond the library window for an interval, and somehow this sight, together with the sound of the clock ticking on the mantelpiece, reminded me of another silent room after the opening of the seventh seal. Porridge becomes something extraordinary, usually. There was a low sun. We walked through thick, crunching snow. It was one of the best days I've had.
I take my seat on a Sunday afternoon while wandering in silent woodlands. A monster had started lumbering my way. And here the real horror unfolds. I have heard spontaneous shouts of, "Oh, do shut up!
Oh, do shut up!"
Of course, the effect is jarring. I had hitherto ignored all the horror stories about Foster Clark's cream custard, Wright's coal tar soap, Emu Australian wines. Wow. Noise is a monster, and it was the silence that had told me this. It was towards midnight, and Mozart was being played in the ticket hall.
The humdrum day-to-day routine is full of wasted moments. Snatched away from this monotony are the special moments, when the world presents itself with splendid ideas, splendid feelings, or great pleasure. Magnificent, isn't it?
car. Alcohol is for that time when the sun is over the yardarm. Where my fellow 13-year-olds might go to the park midweek in a school holiday, I would go to Aberdeen. I discovered that to tangle with the British is to feel oneself shrinking in significance by the day. And it's very quiet, as you can hear. If I was bored, I'd say, "Dad, I'm off to London." And he wouldn't bat an eye. And there I have remained ever since. A monster, chained to the floor. For years it was fine, by the way. And then they installed these new, much louder machines. I did not suffer. I said how refreshing I found it. And the bolder ones would say, after eyeing me for a while, "Absolutely yes. Are you aware this is a first-class carriage?"
Portcullis House.
And so I resort to my car. I had my life before me.
Portcullis House.
His was about done.
The Wilson Room.
Well, I could see that quite clearly for myself.
Portcullis House.
The comings and goings of the businessman.
The Wilson
previously
Room.
Only glimpsed between trees in the distance, and the changing scenes beyond the window, provoking cinematic dreams. I became subject to waves of bittersweet emotion at the thought of all that had happened since.
And when at last we were actually able to touch its weathered cyclopean blocks, we felt that we had established an unprecedented and almost blasphemous link with forgotten eons normally closed to our species. This rampart, shaped like a star and perhaps 300 feet from point to point, was built of Jurassic sandstone blocks of irregular size, averaging 6 by 8 feet in surface. There was a row of arched loopholes, or windows, about 4 feet wide and 5 feet high, spaced quite symmetrically along the points of the star and at its inner angles, and with the bottoms about 4 feet from the glaciated surface. Looking through these, we could see that the masonry was fully 5 feet thick, that there were no partitions remaining within, and that there were traces of banded carvings or bas-reliefs on the interior walls. Facts we had indeed guessed before when flying low over this rampart and others like it.
Actually, and particularly sinister this, a void would open up in people's lives. Death. In shops, cafes, hotel lobbies, restaurants, pubs, dentists, surgeries. I am haunted by them. Only the Bavarian Black Forest would really do. I began to count the cars going past, and continued to count them, off and on, for the next 2 years. Try it as a deterrent, and see how clever you are. Death. Why should it bother me? An expression I would come to know well. When my wife happened to say that I was secretly, guiltily, jealous of nobody at all, unless I murdered them, which I did think of doing, by means of an ice cube containing rat poison that I would pitch from my window directly into their water bucket. She's a much breezier person than I am, and this was just a passing remark. Alternatively, it seemed to me that I'd be doing nothing. But once you've put yourself beyond the pale of our raucous society, and you will find yourself saying those words over and over again. Oh, what fun it is to ride, stranger. 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 pleasantry, you might say. A neighbour was present, and they both reached happily for their drinks. There is no tax on aviation fuel, he said. A shop selling scented candles will have some New Age burbling in the background, he said. But wait, he said. The best ones are made of wax, he said. And so I reach for my book. They're covered in cotton wool, and they're about the size of a railway station. My wife had been a merchant seaman, therefore frightening. Aniseed balls, he said. You get 12 in a box. I knew I'd become a monster. I had also, by then, called all around the world, but it appeared that someone had built a thundering motorway in the sky right over our heads and without asking permission. In the bath, thinking, I can hear young people having sex with each other, going all night, and you can't close your ears. But if I have given up pop music, it hasn't given me up. And so if I hear Gold by Spandau Ballet, then that evokes the savour of liver and mash. And if I hear Careless Whisper by George Michael, that's the apple pie and custard that follows. Whilst Sweet Dreams Are Made of This by the Eurythmics suggests the mug of strong tea that accompanies the meal. In other words, a man reading a soft porn magazine on a rush hour train about 10 feet from his bed. That night, I was still watching young people having sex with each other from my study window. They now appeared as a succession of lights. It wouldn't be heard. If aniseed is such a good thing, why don't the rich want it?
Tokyo is not one city, but many. Its different neighborhoods separated by some of the world's most impenetrable traffic. By far the greater part of it is new, rebuilt after the great firebombings of World War II. Only recently have the Japanese begun to build skyscrapers. Fear of earthquakes has kept its skyline relatively low. In the times when wood and paper were all Japan had to build with, there was an earlier heyday. Tokyo was known then as Edo. At the beginning of the 18th century, it had as many citizens as any capital in Europe. And even then, the imperial palace stood at its heart.
A porter might have stood on a stepladder with a megaphone in his hand. And before that, a parrot might have stood on a stepladder with a porter in his hand. And before that, there might be noises off, some laughter,
Tokyo is
creating
not
renewed
city,
tension, or just an interval of feathery breathing.
By some of the world's most impenetrable traffic. By far the greater part of it is new, rebuilt after the great firebombings of World War II.
A voice gets Sonya nerves.
Fear of earthquakes has kept its skyline relatively low. In the times when wood and paper were all Japan had to build with, there was an earlier heyday. Tokyo was known then as Edo.
Silence enveloping me, and when, on entering the rambling red brick retreat house, I found that it actually smelt of silence, of furniture polish, of books, I felt excited, with a deliquescing feeling in the stomach. There was a low sun. We walked through thick, crunching snow. It was one of the best days I've had. stars. I watched leaves drifting down beyond the library window for an interval, and somehow this sight, together with the sound of the clock ticking on the mantelpiece, reminded me of another silent room after the opening of the seventh scene.